You turn your Bibles to Psalms 116, verse 12. Psalm 116, verse 12. Appreciate all of you being here this morning, and it's always a blessing to be in the Lord's house. Psalm 116, verse 12. If you found it, look up here at me. Okay, let's all stand in honor of reading God's word, if you're able. The psalmist writes, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." Father in heaven, thank you this morning. How your word is already ministered to us in song. Lord, help us this morning to just let your word, the written page, minister to our hearts. Lord, help me to proclaim it, the power, the unction, the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you might have your perfect will and way in our lives. Bless and encourage now, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. You know, when the psalmist writes, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" You know, we think about Lord's benefits to us and what he's done for us, and we think about the material blessings that he's given to us. You know, we forget this sometimes. I'm sure you've probably seen this, but if you're an American, you're in the top 8% of the wealthiest people in the world. If you make something like over like $50,000 a year total in your income, you're in the like top 2 or 3% of the world's richest people. And we thank him for that. We didn't earn that to be born here. We thank him for his physical blessings, the health to be here this morning, the strength that he gives us every day. We thank him for his spiritual blessings, you know, the helps we can get, you know, the books, the seminars, the ministries out there, the Bible, all the things that we have, all the blessings he's given us spiritually, the church. We thank him for friends and Sunday school classes and families and our freedom in this country, the church, that we can come in here and worship freely. Thank you for all the saints. I thank you for all of you. Thank you for ministries like Vacation Bible School and how many have come to know the Lord through that. But sometimes when thanking him for all these things, we forget the most important thing to thank him for. That's his salvation. "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." Do you remember what it was like when you were saved? Can you remember the day, the time? You may not remember the exact date. Maybe you were younger. Maybe you don't even remember the exact time it was. You don't remember, maybe remember exactly how old you were, but you remember a place where the church or at home or somewhere where you called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and he saved you and you knew it. You knew you were a new creature in Christ. Sometimes we need to be reminded of our salvation. And sometimes I think about, as a pastor and preacher, sometimes, especially like last Sunday, you come in, somebody comes, maybe they don't come to church very often. They don't know the, if you want to say it this way, the lingo of our Baptist churches. And we talk about being saved. And they thought, saved what? Saved from what? And we say, well, saved from the wrath to come through our Lord Jesus Christ. Saved from punishment of hell. Saved from judgment and condemnation. Saved, forgiven of all our sins because of the work on the cross. But sometimes people don't understand what it means to be saved. So I want to just share a little acrostic with you this morning that God has given me just to help us remember what salvation really is. You're filling in your little blanks this morning. The first letter of saved is S. S is for spared. But you know, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been spared. Spared of eternal judgment. But I want you to think about that for a minute. Did you know God didn't spare his angels that sinned? 2 Peter 2:4 said, "For God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." God didn't give them any mercy. Those angels that sinned, he did not spare them. He did not show them a second chance. He reserved them in chains of judgment for eternal condemnation. He didn't spare his angels. Notice something else. He didn't spare the old world. Remember Noah In his day and time, they were trying to be a preacher of righteousness, tell him about to trust in God and believing in the holy triune God. And they didn't believe him. And God sent his judgment upon the world, flood. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 said, "And did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of only eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly." There were no survivors for those who were not in the ark. He didn't spare them. Do you know he didn't spare Israel? Paul said in Romans chapter 11, verse 21 says, "For if God did not spare the natural branches," that is, he's talking about Israel, "didn't spare his natural branches." Didn't spare any. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 through 10, he gives us a little bit more understanding of that. He says, "But most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." He judged them in the wilderness. "Now these things became our examples to the extent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as some of them, as it is written, 'The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play.' Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and one day 23,000 fell. Let us not tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents." Remember, God sent snakes him to bite them, and they died of the poison unless they would look at the brazen pole and live. "And nor complain, as some of them also complained, were destroyed by the destroyer." God didn't spare the children of Israel when they turned on him. And it wasn't pretty. But you know something else? Not only did he not spare the angels, he didn't spare the old world, he didn't spare Israel, he didn't even spare his own son. Romans 8:32, "Who did not spare his own son because of sin." You know, there's a song we sing, "How Great Thou Art." You know that song? I think it's the third verse. It says, "When I think of God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in." Do you let that sink in a minute? That God didn't spare his own son because of us. And I don't know about you, when he wrote, "I scarce can take it in," it's overwhelming for me to understand that God would send his son to die for me and for you. See, he spared you and I because of what his son did. Because he didn't spare his son, he spared you and I. I remember my first car I ever owned. It was a 1962 Dodge Coronet, four-door, light blue, push button automatic transmission on the dash. Some of you won't even know what that is. I bought it from my brother for $200. I'd gotten my first job, and I lived in East Knox County, and I worked in West Knoxville, and I was driving back and forth there, and I think it used more oil than it did gas. Amen. And I drove that old clunker, had a few rusted out spots on it, back and forth to work. And I worked in the evening shift at the plant my dad was plant manager at. And I remember driving back through what used to be called Malfunction Junction in Knoxville. That little two-lane interstate went through there, and all its different streets converged till it was an absolute Malfunction Junction. And I was driving through there about 10:30 one night, coming home from work. And all of a sudden, somebody got on my back bumper with their headlights just right in my face. And being the young, smart, young 19, 20-year-old that I was, I just decided I'd teach him a lesson. So I hit my brakes. And he turned the blue lights on. And so I found a place to pull off as soon as we could kind of get through that deal. And I don't think my heart was beating. I think it was just stopped. He pulled up behind me, and he came out to my window, and he was mad. "What in the world do you think you're doing?" I don't think I said anything. I couldn't speak. But I heard his radio going off. Evidently, something was going on that he needed to get to in a hurry. And he stopped and listened to the radio. And he said, "I'm going to let you go, but you better not ever do that again." And he jumped in his car, and boom, he was gone. I think I sat there for 5 minutes. But you know, I got spared because somebody else had a problem that he had to get to. He could have put me in jail for that. And I think back on that sometimes, that When the Holy Spirit arrested me, pulled me over, the blue lights were flashing and I was guilty. And there was nothing I could say. But because someone else, Jesus, had died for me, I was set free. Praise the Lord. When you think of salvation, when you think of the word saved, think of the S. S is for spared. We are spared because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. That's worth a good enough for a message right there, amen? But I want you to notice something else. A is for adopted. Romans 8:15, Paul said, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father." He said in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." So when you trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, not only are you spared from the judgment to come, but you're adopted into the family of God. When we were in Israel, we were at some place, I don't even remember where, but there was a little boy there, and he was with his dad. Of course, most of the people in Israel now speak Hebrew. And the little boy kept hollering at his dad. He was probably 6 or 7 years old. Abba, Abba, Abba. Trying to get his dad's attention. He got his dad's attention. But you know what? There was something so beautiful about that little boy crying out to his father, saying, Abba. But you know, when you're saved, we have a Father in heaven. And he puts his spirit in our hearts that we cry out, Abba, Father, to him. When you're hurting and when you're going through the difficult times, when you're in pain and when you never need, you cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out to him. And he hears every cry. See, if you've been saved, you've been adopted. Do you know not every child that is born is wanted? How many times do we hear about somebody having an unwanted pregnancy? I remember several years ago, Carol and I rented a house from, and they'd worked out American Inc. Both of them were engineers, and they were probably in their mid-30s, and I said something about, do you have any kids? Oh, no, we don't have any kids. I said, don't you want any kids? Oh, no, we have our careers. You know, I wasn't even saved then, but that just struck me as sad. That they didn't have any, when they're old, any children to look back at and to enjoy their life with. You know, not every child, natural child, is wanted. You know, how much we read about abortion, we read about abandonment and abuse and the neglect. You know, we become a nation of fatherless children because not every natural child is wanted. But you know, I want you to know something. Thunder, okay. Or somebody dropped something. But you know, not every natural child is wanted, but those children who are adopted are chosen. Did you ever think about that? A child is adopted, somebody chose them to bring them into their family to take care of them because they loved them and wanted to provide a home for them. There used to be a program on one of the news stations, and it was on Mondays. I don't know if it's WBR or one of those. I don't know if they still do it or not. Bill Williams, I think, was the guy that did it. They called Monday's Child. Remember Monday's Child? And they would bring some child. Sometimes they were teenagers. Sometimes they were younger. And they would bring them up, and they would have a little interview with them and talk to them about it, and say, this child needs a home. This child needs to be adopted. And most of the times, they had a lot of problems. A lot of baggage from the homes they came out of. Maybe they had learning deficiencies or maybe a speech impediment. But you know, I read that a lot of those children they put on TV and showcased them. A lot of people stepped forward and adopted those children. They chose them to come to their house to live with them, to be their child. You know, I can almost imagine, I think when they adopted those children, all the legal proceedings were done, they brought them back home. They didn't set them down and say, okay, we've got a list of rules here for you. Here's the rules of our household. If you break one, you're going back to the orphanage or wherever you came from. No. No, they brought them in. They fed them a good meal. They put their arms around them and told them they loved them. They showed them the room they was going to stay in. They tucked them in bed that night and said, We're so happy to have you in our family. And I wonder if they ever thought there when they laid down in their bed at night, said, I finally got a home. I've got a family. And they love me. They chose me. They picked me. You ever think about that when you lay down at night, that God chose you? Before the foundation of the world, he looked forward in time. He sent forth his son to die for you, that he could choose you to be part of his family. And he's going to take care of you, and he's going to love you for all eternity, and he's never going to leave you on a forsaking. He didn't give you a set of rules, and if you break a rule, he said, nope, you're going to hell. I can't handle that. No, he sent his son to pay every price for every sin, everything we ever did, every thought, everything we ever did, so we could be with him forever in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And in our hearts, we can cry out, Abba, Father, because we've been adopted. Have you been adopted this morning? Part of the family of God. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. S is for spared. A is for adopted. V is for victorious. Paul said in Romans 8:37, yet in all things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors, we're victorious. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through faith we have our victory. Notice he doesn't say he will give us the victory, but he gives us the victory. It's present tense. He says we're winning. But more than that, he says, we're already victorious. And what's he talking about? Victorious over it. Victorious over death, victorious over hell, victorious over the grave, victorious over the world. How many times did he tell us to fear not? There was another TV station in Knoxville, maybe still has this program, called Six on Your Side, where I think it was Don Dare, that if somebody had an issue in the community with some kind of a problem, they couldn't get any satisfaction getting it resolved, they could call Don Dare and he would become their advocate and to help them at no cost to them. Basically, kind of a lawyer kind of deal. He'd come alongside and said, whatever your problem is, I'll try to help you get it solved. We have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus. And he stepped in on our side that we'd have the victory. I remember several years ago going to a Tennessee Vandy football game. I think it was Peyton was playing. And I think Tim and I don't remember who all was with me. We were watching. It was early in the fourth quarter. It was 65-0 Tennessee. And they had already cleared the bench and had the water boys and everybody else playing. And I got to noticing something. I remember the Vanderbilt players, if they got tackled really hard or blocked or whatever, they'd kind of drag themselves up and drag themselves back to the huddle. And I remember one old boy was playing cornerback for Tennessee, and he wasn't even a scholarship player. And Vanderbilt ran a sweep, and he came running around the side, and some guy absolutely leveled him. I mean, just knocked him for a loop. You know what that old boy did? He jumped back up like his pants was on fire, like he had never been hit at all. He run back to help. He was happy to be out there playing. You know what the difference was? He could see the scoreboard. 65-0. Didn't matter if they knocked him down. He was on the winning team. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ won the victory for us. So we don't have to live in defeat. We don't have to live in despair. We don't have to live in discouragement. We can take and look at the scoreboard and look at Calvary and say, he won. He did it all. He paid it all. He rose from the grave to give me the victory. When life flattens, you look at the scoreboard. Look to the cross. S is for spared. A is for adopted. V is victorious. If you've been born in the family of God by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you say, I've been saved, you've been spared from judgment. You've been adopted in the family of God. You've been given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is that wins the victory for us, even our faith. But E is for enlightened. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, 19, Paul said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, opened, he says, so that you may know What is the hope of his calling? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? If you've been saved, your eyes have been opened by the Holy Spirit. You can see what all's going on. You know. I read a little account several years ago about a lady was walking down the street, and she went by this little pet shop, and it was in the summer months, and the proprietor had set out a cage there with a parrot he had for sale out front on the sidewalk there. And this lady walked by there, and as soon as she walked by that parrot, this parrot said, "Lady," she turned around and said, "You're ugly." She walked on by. Well, the next day she's coming down through there again, going to work where she's going. That parrot's out there again. "Hey, lady, you're ugly." She got so mad, she went into the pet shop, got the owner. She said, "I want you to do something about that bird. He's insulted me 2 days in a row. He told me I was ugly. I want you to do something with him. I'm sorry, lady. It won't happen again. I'll do something with the bird." Well, the next day she comes by. Parrot's there just looking at her, and she just glares at him. He didn't squawk or anything. She starts walking by, and he said, "Hey, lady." She turns around and said, "You know." Do you know that you've been saved? Did you know that Jesus won the victory? Eyes opened, mind opened to the truth of Christ. Heart has received. You know, I thought about that one time. You know, for someone who's not saved, it's like they're coming into a movie that's playing on the TV in a movie theater, and they're 30 minutes late, and they're trying to figure out what the story is. They don't know the beginning, and they don't know the ending. They're trying to figure out what is going on. You know, life is like that for a lot of people. They can't figure it out. But you stop and think about it. Because of Jesus Christ, we know the beginning. That Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and sin came upon all men, the curse upon this world because of it. We know what's going on, all the suffering and pain and heartache is all because of sin. But we know the end of the story when Jesus, after he died on the cross, rose from the grave, and one day he's coming back for his children, and one day he's going to set everything right. One day he's going to remove the curse off this world. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth, and all of his children are going to live there forever with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know him as Savior? If you do, your eyes have been opened. That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And you know the truth that sets us free. You've been enlightened. S is for spared, A is for adopted, V is for victorious, E is for enlightened, but D is for destined. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 14, 1 through 3? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus saying to his disciples there, you're destined for heaven with me. I'm making a place for you, and one day you're going to be there with me. See, a child of God knows we're not lost anymore. We're just strangers and pilgrims going through this world. We know who we are. We're children of God. We know where we've been. We know our past. We know where we're going. We know where we're at. See, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're destined for heaven. Doesn't matter what this world throws at you. Doesn't matter what comes down your pike. Doesn't matter what happens today or tomorrow. You are destined for an eternal place in heaven where there is no sin, sorrow, suffering, nor death. Amen. I read a little account about Billy Graham. Billy Graham's now 98 years old. The account was back in January of 2000, the leaders in Charlotte, North Carolina, where Billy Graham originally was from, invited their favorite son, Billy Graham, to a luncheon in his honor. He said he originally hesitated to accept it because he struggles with Parkinson's disease even then. The Charlotte leaders said, We don't want any kind of major address. We just want to honor you. Would you just come and let us honor you? And as they came into the luncheon and all the wonderful things were said about Billy Graham, they finally asked him to step up and say a few words. And he stepped up to the podium and he looked at the crowd and he said, "I'm reminded today of the great Albert Einstein." He said, "The great physicist who was honored this month as Man of the Year by Time magazine." And he said, "Albert Einstein several years ago was traveling from Princeton on a train. And the conductor came down the aisle and he was looking, you know, collecting everybody's tickets and punching them. And the conductor came to Albert Einstein and he was looking in his coat pocket and he was looking in his pants. And he was looking everywhere and he couldn't find his ticket. And the conductor said, "That's all right, Dr. Einstein. We know who you are. We know you probably purchased a ticket. Don't worry about it. It's okay." And he went on down the aisle. He gets to the end of the aisle, and he's about to go out of that boxcar or that car, train car, into the next car, and he looks back and he sees Dr. Einstein crawling around on the floor underneath the seats where he was sitting. He runs back and he said, Dr. Einstein, "I know you had a ticket. I'm sure you did. Don't worry about it. It's okay." And he said, "Son, I'm not worried about that I bought a ticket or not." He said, "I know who I am." He said, "The problem is I don't know where I'm going." But they said, after said that, Billy Graham continued. He said, "See this suit I'm wearing? It's a brand new suit." He said, "My children said I was getting a little bit sloppy in my old age, so they said I needed a new suit. So I bought this new suit." And he said, "I bought this suit for this luncheon and for one more occasion." He said, "This is the suit that I'll be buried in." He said, "When you hear I'm dead, I don't want you to remember immediately this suit, but I want you to remember this. Not only did I know who I am, I know where I'm going." See, I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. I'm destined for heaven. I'm destined for eternity. I'm destined to be like Jesus. I've been spared. I've been adopted. I'm victorious. I've been enlightened. I'm destined for an eternal home in heaven. What a Savior. Amen. Question is this morning, do you know where you're going? Have you been saved? I want you to, next time you hear a Baptist or anybody else in any denomination, any kind of Christian of any kind, that uses the word saved, that you know what it means. It's all because of what he did on the cross. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for sending your Son to spare us, to adopt us, to give us the victory, to open our eyes to your truth and make us fit for heaven. Lord, encourage your children this morning. Let them cry out to you in their heart, "Abba, Father," because we've been adopted. We've been changed. We've been set free. Lord, just have your way in our hearts and lives, whatever it may be. If there's someone here this morning who has not been saved, has not turned their life over to Jesus Christ and asked for his forgiveness and salvation, Lord, I pray it'd be so this morning. Just have your way in our hearts this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with me as they, in faith, leads us in a song of invitation? You need to come, you need to pray, you need to just come cry out to Father. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, step out and come this morning.